Mark Tegubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the precious, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm glad that you're joining us. I trust that today, as we look into the Word of God, your heart will be blessed, your soul will be encouraged and strengthened, and your spirit will be made more usable to the honor, glory of the Lord Jesus, to the bringing forth of fruit, to the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in John chapter 15. If you will get your Bible or New Testament and read along with us, I believe it'll be a blessing to your life, because we're looking into the Word and trusting the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our instructor. Now, we're considering the vineyard, and that Jesus said He's the true vine, and that His Father is the husbandman. Now, there is a vine that's not true. There is a vine that claims to be a source of life, but in reality, it is deceptive and it is destructive. Jesus is the true vine. Satan and his false religions are a false vine. They appear to offer something that will satisfy and meet people's needs, but the truth is, it only blinds them and deceives them and dooms them and damns them to a Christless eternity. Jesus Christ is the only source of true life. Eternal life only comes through the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman, the one who cares for the vine, the one who looks over the vine, the one who prunes the vine so that the branches are pruned to bring forth more fruit. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Those branches that are in the vine that are not productive and fruitful, they are pretenders. They're just taking up space. They're not really a part of the vine. He says He takes those away. But every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Over in the book of Hebrews, Jesus talked about the times that He disciplines a child of God, or that He teaches a child of God through difficult situations and circumstances, that they might grow, and that they might develop, and that they might be more usable of the Lord. And He talks about how that He prunes us or chastens us. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And He says here in chapter 12, beginning with verse 5, "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Now the Lord does this in love. It's not out of anger or frustration with us, but it's to teach us to walk in obedience to Him. "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." He says, then you're illegitimate. You're not truly born-again believers. You're simply pretenders. You're professors. You're not possessors. And there's a world of difference between the two. "For as much as we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they, our earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, You see, beloved, any chastening that comes into your life or mine from the Father is for our profit. It's for our good. We may not understand what's going on, and we may cry out, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this problem? Why are you allowing this difficulty? Why are you allowing this circumstance? It's for our good, beloved. We don't really always know or understand. Sometimes there are loved ones that are taken away early in life, and we say, why, Lord? We don't know the future and what might have occurred in their life had they continued to live. But God knows. God has a purpose. That's why He tells us in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. How many times we get frustrated, perturbed, upset, distraught, because we lean to our own understanding. We try to face and control and live life according to our understanding, and it always creates problems and difficulties when if we would let the Lord be Lord and let Him have His way, how much better He would be able to take our lives and use them for His glory. That we might draw upon His strength, His pruning, beloved, is for our benefit. It's for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. It's to make us better reflectors of Jesus Christ. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. This is Hebrews 12, verse 11. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so the chastening of our Lord, the pruning of the husbandman, it's for our good, beloved. It's because God loves us, and He will not do anything that will bring grief or heartache or trouble our suffering into our life any more than is absolutely necessary and needful for our good and for His glory. And so He says, abide in Me. This is John 15 and verse 5 again. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in Me. Now, beloved, that's where we become fruitful. Resting in the Lord, drawing upon His strength, letting Him be Lord in our life, letting Him guide our step, letting Him direct our path, letting Him accomplish in and through us His will, resting in the Lord, and letting His peace prevail in our life and in our hearts. Though we don't understand what's going on, we trust in Him with all of our heart. I am the vine, ye are the branches. You see, it makes it clear who the branches are. It's we who believe in the Lord Jesus and have accepted Him as Savior, have been born into the family of God. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing. O beloved, when we try to witness without the leadership and power of the Holy Spirit, it amounts to nothing. We have to learn to be yielded to the Lord, to let Him accomplish in us and live through us and do with us that which will bring glory, honor, praise, and fruit to His name. If any man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He's talking about professors, people who have not genuinely been born again and received Christ as Savior. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You remember the parable Jesus told about the seed that was sown? Some fell in hard places, and some fell among rocks, and some sprang up quickly, but then when trial and trouble came, it vanished away. It wasn't genuine. But some fell on good ground, and that was what produced and brought forth fruit. And so, beloved, there's a world of a difference between a professor, one who professes to know the Lord, and one who possesses Christ, is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and brings forth fruit to the honor and glory and praise of the Lord. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Beloved, are you a child of God? If so, are you abiding in the Lord? Are you allowing His Word to abide in you? Are you getting into His Word on a regular daily basis and letting Him teach you and instruct you and cleanse you through His Word? Even as He said in verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you." Yes, beloved. Is His Word abiding in you? He says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Why? Because we will want the will of the Lord to be done. We'll be submissive to His will, and we'll pray, "Lord, thy will be done, not my will. You know what's best. I trust you. Have your will in and through this circumstance and difficulty. Use it for your glory and accomplish through it your plan and your purpose. Herein is my Father glorified," verse 8, "that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Now notice, Jesus again refers to the Father. We're talking about the Trinity, the triune Godhead. And He continually speaks about the Father and the love of the Father and how that the Father loves me, so have I loved you with the same love. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Beloved, do you love Jesus? This is the way we prove that we love Jesus, by obeying His Word, by keeping His commandments, doing what He's told us to do. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Until next time, goodbye.